Welcome to A Sip of Sports. On today's podcast, we will have our Super Bowl matchup and tennis. Lots and lots of tennis. This is the only podcast that covers all the sporting news with opinions you won't hear anywhere else. This is A Sip of Sports, the podcast, and I'm Mary. The majority of this show is going to cover the Australian Open. We have entered the second week, and we have some shocking people in the final four for both men's and women's. The last Americans lost in the quarterfinals. Madison Keys, on the women's side, who looked like the favorite to win the whole thing for most of the tournament, was beat by a buzzsaw that was Angelique Kerber. I didn't watch the match. It wasn't as one-sided as it looked. She won 6-1, 6-2. Madison supposedly played great, although she didn't have any aces, which is usually her go-to. She just couldn't overpower Kerber. That's Kerber's game. The final four on the women's side are Kerber and Halep and Mertens Wozniacki. I'm really excited to see Wozniacki in a semifinal. She's one of my favorite players on tour. I just think she's great. She's got a great defensive game, not much power, but she's playing great this tournament. Angelique Kerber is the only one of the final four ladies to have won a major before. She won the Australian 2 years ago and the U.S. Open in the same year, 2016. Halep, who is ranked number one in the world, has yet to win a career major. Mertens is playing in only her third Grand Slam and her first semifinal, while Wozniacki, who has been number one in the world before, has also never won a major, though she has made it to a major final before and multiple semifinals. Kerber, with her pounding of Keys, has got to be the favorite here, but I'm going to predict a Halep-Wozniacki final. On the men's side, American Tennis Sandgren lost to Chung from South Korea in a tight three-set sweep in the quarterfinals. I want to pause here because a lot of noise has happened with Sandgren over the last few days. Tennis Sandgren was ranked 97th coming into this event. He's a nobody. He's America's dream sports idol. He's an underdog. He's been plugging away at playing professional tennis for years. He played college tennis at the University of Tennessee. Before that, his mom was his only coach. He still resides in the small town he grew up in. He had never won a match in a major tournament before, and his dream was to make the main draw of Wimbledon. His magical Australian Open took him to the quarterfinals by beating seriously quality players like Stan Wawrinka, who has won multiple majors, and Dominic Thiem, who is ranked number 5 in the world. But this has not been what the conversation has been about. The media coverage has revolved around Sandgren's tweet and political opinions. Just Google it. He's a believer in the alt-right. He's a racist. Who are the people that he's followed that are being defined as the alt-right? The Drudge Report and Ben Shapiro. Yeah, Ben Shapiro's fringe alt-right for sure. He was ranked the most important voice in the conservative movement and is the number one target of the alt-right because he's a practicing Jew. But sure, let's call him alt-right. According to Washington Post, Sandgren's liking of Shapiro and retweets of him is cause for shaming. He's a racist because he disagreed with James Blake, a former tennis player who is black, about racism in the country. So I guess our newest definition of racism is someone who disagrees with somebody of a different skin color? This whole controversy has been deeply unfair to Sandgren. The whole controversy has been deeply unfair to Sandgren. He let others define the alt-right for him, which is exactly what they wanted to do, because the alt-right has become anyone the mainstream media doesn't agree with. Ben Shapiro and the Drudge Report are conservative-leaning, yeah, but alt-right? Ridiculous. Now, I didn't see the tweets or the retweets he had. He has since deleted everything. But all the evidence put forth by publications like the Washington Post and New York Daily News and other news outlets that I researched extensively today, things that are not outright just conservative. This whole coverage has called into question the use of the phrase alt-right and an understanding of what racism actually is. And most importantly, it has been a large case of the media bullying. I covered this issue more fully at the blog, where you can read the extent of my opinion as well as Sandgren's response to the controversy. The reason I started this podcast was for stories just like this. There was a preconceived idea placed on this man that was not accurate. He has been crucified in the press, and I'm here to tell you it is undeserved. All right, enough of that. Let's get back to the real story in actual tennis, the men's semifinal of the Australian Open. Marin Cilic will play the Brit, Edmonds, and Chung, the one who defeated Sandgren, will play Federer. Federer has still not lost a set the whole tournament. Nadal, who had to retire in the fifth set against Cilic in the quarterfinal, has released a statement. He said he will be fine. He will be back to playing in 3 weeks. For all the Fed fans, yep, I'm including myself in that, it looks like title number 20 is within reach. Now we'll stay in Australia and tennis to take on the next storyline that has gotten some buzz. Margaret Court Arena, named after the greatest female tennis player of all time, has repeatedly been called for renaming over the course of the last year. It began last season when Martina Navratilova wrote a letter to the Sydney Morning Herald. Navratilova, a lesbian, was calling out Margaret Court's views on homosexuality. Court is a vocal advocate for traditional marriage and regularly appears on Christian television at odds with the LGBTQ agenda. It was the phrasing that Navratilova used that shows the hypocrisy by which people are judged these days. Navratilova wrote, quote, "Sporting venues named for athletes, or any place really, named for whoever, are so named for one reason. That reason is their whole body of work. In other words, it is not just for what this person did on the field, on the court, in politics, arts, or sciences, for instance, but also for who they are as human beings." End quote. These are noble words and ideas Navratilova expresses. This Australian Open, again, the issue was reignited when Billie Jean King, a contemporary of Court and one who also has an arena named after her in her home country, stated, quote, "I personally don't think she, Margaret Court, should have her name on the arena anymore." End quote. King continued to say that if she was currently playing, she would refuse to play on Margaret Court Arena, the second most prestigious court at Melbourne Park. King, like Navratilova, is a lesbian who finds Court's views at odds with her own. Billie Jean King, an American, has the second most prestigious court at her home open named after her. So let's use Navratilova's criteria and look at the naming of these two arenas for two of the majors after two very different women. Billie Jean King and Margaret Court were contemporaries of each other. Margaret Court was clearly the better tennis player. Billie Jean King has an impressive 12 majors to her credit. Margaret Court has 24. In their head-to-head, Court leads King 22-10. They met 5 times in a major final. Court won 4 of them. Both players were praised for not only their stellar singles play, but also their doubles acumen. Billie Jean King won a respectable 39 double major championships. Court won 64. There is a valid argument that Margaret Court is the greatest women's tennis player of all time. It's not an argument that King is. When it comes to naming arenas, Margaret Court's name at the Australian Open, which she won 11 times, still the record, is just not understandable. It is unbelievable for it to be named after anyone else. Court is the greatest tennis player of her generation, of her country, and arguably of all time. She has earned the right to have an arena named after her. It is insulting when King tries to take credit for the arena being named after Court. Court earned the honor herself. But, as Navratilova states, it's not just what one does on the court, but also, quote, who they are as human beings, end quote. Again, let's compare the two women of note with arenas named after them as they are as human beings. Margaret Court is the mother of 4 children. She had 3 of them while still playing professional tennis. After the birth of her first child, she returned to the court to regain the number 1 ranking as well as major titles. She took a year off with each of her pregnancies before retiring indefinitely with the arrival of her 3rd child. She was a woman who put her career behind that of her family, an admirably selfless decision. After retiring, she and her husband devoted their life to their faith. They created the Margaret Court Ministries. They built a church in Perth, Australia. She has devoted her life to causes she believes in. Meanwhile, Billie Jean King took a very different path. King has had 2 very public cheating scandals. The first
was obviously the largest, as it outed King at a time when homosexuality was not accepted. Her first affair was with Marilyn Barnett while she was married to her husband. Barnett and King were involved for 7 years before their breakup ended in a very nasty public and court battle. Barnett sued for financial support. King, very publicly, refused to assist Barnett at all. Barnett tried unsuccessfully to commit suicide after losing her court battle and being left with nothing. She is now paralyzed from the waist down, and King has never talked about it. Again, King would cheat on her husband with her doubles partner. Her husband and her would divorce, and King would continue her relationship with Kloss. King would also have a very public abortion in the 1970s. She describes her reasoning today, quote, "Because I was not in a good place. I was trying to figure my life out. I was trying to get the tour started. I did not want to bring a baby into the world," end quote. There are a lot of I's in that reasoning. King believed the life she had conceived in her womb was inconvenient. She had too many things to do. The life was not worth giving, but worth destroying because she was not ready for it. There is nothing, no nothing, more selfish and shameful than that. This is not the case of rape or incest, as many abortion advocates use to defend abortion. This was an act of deep selfishness that saw the destruction of a life because her career was more important. King's legacy is now defined by her social justice work, but the people who most loved her and she most loved and needed, her husband, Marilyn Barnett, and her unborn child, were not treated well. She was unfaithful, vindictive, and selfish in her relationship with those closest to her. And the words of Navratilova, who was Billie Jean King, as a human being. If we're really going to start pointing fingers and casting spotlights on people's personal life, let's be fair about it. All of us, even those with more liberal views of homosexuality, can look at King's treatment of Marilyn Barnett and call it shameful. Whether she did it to preserve her marriage, her endorsements, or her career, she put her own interest ahead of a woman that loved her and gave her 7 years of her life. Someone who stands at the other end of the spectrum of politics or religion does not automatically make them a bad human being. Bad human beings are people who treat people poorly. Margaret Court thinks marriage is between a man and a woman. She does not want to kill homosexuals. She does not want to imprison them. She does not even want to prevent them from having a career. She does define marriage the way millions and millions of people do. Whereas Billie Jean King has proven in her personal life, she is not one to be respected or honored. Let's move on to other sports storylines. The next most important story to come out of the sporting world is Larry Nassar being sentenced to 40 to 170 years for sexual abuse against gymnasts. Larry Nassar was the team doctor for Michigan State and United States Gymnastics. He is accused of abusing almost 150 girls. This story is disgusting and disturbing. What is most disturbing is the silence. How could so many women, girls, fall victim and no one know? Why were these girls so terrified they didn't tell anyone? Or was it so commonplace that it wasn't worth expressing? How could parents not know? How could coaches continue to let this happen? This is something that deserves a cleaning of house, a cleaning of U.S. gymnastics, a cleaning of Michigan State Athletic Department. I would honestly not let my daughter do national-level gymnastics, nor allow any of my children to compete for the University of Michigan State. There's such recklessness, and it's unexcusable. To the women who came forward, from the famous to the anonymous, I salute you. I admire you. That is real courage. To all those in gymnastics who are making the big decisions right now, you have a serious crisis on your hand. How you respond going forward will decide the future of American gymnastics. If you put winning gold medals above protecting our children, your whole sport deserves to be vanquished. Let us move on now to some NFL news. The Super Bowl is set after the Patriots won a thrilling come-from-behind victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC Championship game. They will face off against the best team in the NFC all season, the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles stomped the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC Championship. Not even a good game. We'll cover the Super Bowl extensively next week. Having covered the top news stories of the week, let's move on to our Stories You Should Know section, Best Thing I Saw This Week, and What I'm Reading. Our Stories You Should Know section was all about Margaret Court. We covered most of her career already, so check out our blog at sipofsports.com to read about her life and career more extensively. Suffice it to say, I have a hard time putting anyone ahead of her in the all-time list. She was one of the greats, and her story is very inspiring. Check it out. Best thing I saw this week was the round of 16 matchup between Angelique Kerber and Su Wu Shui. I have never seen a professional tennis player play the way Shui did. She played the drop shot in the ankles. She was a huge underdog from Taiwan with a singles ranking of 88th in the world. She faced Angie Kerber. As we already talked about, she has won two majors. Kerber isn't a power player, but she can absorb power better than anyone on tour. But this matchup wasn't power against defense. It was a game of placement and running down great shots. It was a highly entertaining three-set match. Shui just ran out of steam at the end of the third set. It was really hard to pick what the best thing I saw this week was because there were some really great tennis matches, including a three-set Halep-Davies game, and the Sandridge team match was also classic. The Australian has really been fun. What I'm reading. For those of you who don't know, I'm an avid reader. I'm always reading something, so I thought I'd start sharing what I'm working through each week. I am currently reading two parenting books with the same basic premise for different age groups. One is How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and How to Listen So Your Kids Will Talk by Adele Faber. The second was written by her daughter, Joanna Faber, titled How to Talk So Little Kids Will Listen, a Survival Guide to Life with Ages 2 through 7. And the first one by Adele Faber was a national best-selling book, like 10 years ago, I think. It's okay. I'm not loving them. They don't believe in punishment. They want you to explain consequences. Problem is, as a mother of three children under the age of five, this seems unrealistic. But I'm trying it. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If there are stories you think I should have covered, please let me know. This is the only sport podcast that covers all the sports and gives you well-reasoned opinions you won't hear anyone else. Please check out our blog at sipofsports.com. I'm Mary, and this has been A Sip of Sports, the podcast.